broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You also know that, we just reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration. I want to repeat that phrase because I think it's so important. Also, we have day jobs. We're a little different than most talk show hosts. We're not begging for your money to feed our family and let us go on vacations. We are, though, hoping that you'll help fund the sacred cause of liberty. We have day jobs that feed our families, but we do need a lot of money. Why? Because the media is expensive. To spread the word, to have live streams, to have archives, to have downloads, to have websites, to collect articles, to do all that we do just takes a ton of time and a ton of money. I wish it weren't so. I fund it to the best of my ability. In fact, I fund 90% of the radio network, not only in time, but in actual hard cash in addition to my time. So we would truly appreciate any donations we can get. LibertyRoundtable.com is where you get that done. Live and on-demand radio and archives at the same place, free. So spread the word. We never want to put a paywall. We believe that a paywall is just not good. We've even tried it before. All it does is restrict the ability for good, honest people to have commentary on the cause of liberty. And we want to stand for that sacred cause. We don't want any restriction or impediment that could get in the way of good, honest people learning the truth about the proper role of limited government. The positive attitude that we have, that this is the greatest country on the face of the earth, all those things. By the way, did you know it's a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday? Yes, it is. Quick recap of yesterday's news, then we'll be on with 2 hours of hard-hitting talk for today, if you will. They say the heat may grow so hostile that it pulls plug on the power. USA Today writing the piece, talking about the East Coast and how it's just going to be a disaster. Too many people need power. They don't talk about God at all or turning to God. He promises if we turn to him and repent, he'll heal our land and protect us. But, hey, they ignore that. The other thing they don't really talk much about in this article is how neighbors can help one another. How government involved in the grid just raises the cost of power. How if we could get off the grid, what a difference it would make. How many new technologies could come to the forefront if government would get out of the way. A lot of good stuff there that could be, understood and focused on, etc. And we want to highlight those things. We also need to talk about churches and nonprofit philanthropy groups and others who could make a difference. Christian churches and stuff like that could, protect people. And anyway, our prayers, that's one thing we need to learn to do too, is turn to God in prayer and pray that nobody dies and people don't suffer in this horrible heat wave. Pray for relief and pray for peace and stability and, get out and minister to one another and serve and love. And, there's a lot of good we individually can do in the country. By the way, Verizon is the number one cellular network, multiple years the case, but anyway, Verizon number one. We also talked about the HUD secretary, one of my favorite people, Ben Carson, defended President Donald Trump, saying that his tweets directed towards four progressive members of Congress were not racist. And I agree that they weren't racist, but I disagree about him making them. I don't think he should have made those comments. And I don't think these women should be making the comments they make. But you know what? I support free speech on both sides. If it's a First Amendment free speech, let's back off and say, you're goofy, I disagree with you, and let it go. But if they've crossed the line into libel, slander, treason, insurrections in the country, then we need to do something about it. What I don't like is the rhetoric that just ratchets up hatred and anger and taking it to the streets mentality. If somebody's really crossed the line and they're criminally responsible, or liable, or whatever you want to say, if they've really put somebody or something in jeopardy and crossed the line and violated, laws, then we need to create accountability. On the other hand, when are we in the free speech zone and when have we crossed the line into, you know, libel, slander, you know, treason, this kind of stuff? We need to find out because that's where we need to go. We don't want to take this to the streets and just ratchet up eventual violence on anybody's side. Okay, but we do want to create accountability if someone's really saying or doing things. And the example I gave is that, you know, this example about this. I can't find the story on this. Anyway, there's a Mexican flag story where they basically put up a Mexican. They took down an American flag at a nice headquarters in Colorado, and they put up a Mexican flag. Now, to me, see, that borders on insurrection. Okay, when Antifa gets violent in the streets and just starts beating up journalists and beating people up and harming people and threatening buildings and et cetera, okay, this stuff has got to be stopped. So when is your free speech, when should your free speech be defended, and when does it cross the line? And when are your actions defended for your, you know, you have the right to peacefully assemble, right? Versus when does it cross the line? And what I'm afraid we're doing is we're ratcheting up the rhetoric, we're bringing people to the streets, and then we're saying, hey, let the cops keep the hands off while the violence rages. We're saying when people have this libel, slanderous, treasonous, you know, kind of a speech, well, they got free speech. Okay, I don't buy that. There are fine lines here, folks, based on the rule of law that we need to understand and clearly defend. And free speech is one of them. By the way, we got good news, though. Netflix pulls suicide scene from 13 Reasons Why. The American Family Association briefing us on that. Netflix is clearly at a critical moment, ladies and gentlemen. It has the opportunity to distance itself from its close associations with teen suicide by completely removing the series 13 Reasons altogether. We pray they do before another child is lost. Are we headed for an American debt jubilee? We asked that question yesterday as well. Go look at your Bible and look up jubilee. Stansberry wrote a fantastic new book, The American Jubilee. Check that out. And we talked about, you see, the idea of erasing debts to reset the financial system is not new. In fact, in the Bible, it's referred to as a jubilee. A jubilee is a Jewish tradition, and it was said to recur about every 50 years. It was a time for total forgiveness of debt, the freeing of slaves, and the returning of lands. Wow, just imagine if the Western, you know, get their lands back. Just imagine if the IRS, you know, is shut down because we're going to free the slaves. Wow. The Jubilee, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is a horrible thing if it's carried out the way the elites and the globalists and the swamp monsters want it to be. The Jubilee will end up redistributing hundreds of billions of dollars from those who have invested and saved to those who can no longer pay their debts. You know, clean the slate, wipe out the debts, reset the financial system sounds good, but they will move us into a global system. They will move us into a very, very precarious place, if you will. Everyone will freak out, ladies and gentlemen. It will cause all kinds of untold problems. That's the biggest problem, is that uncertainty that it will create. I'm telling you, it is disaster. And, you know, if we could go back to constitutional currency and have a real debt jubilee, that would make sense. Okay, but that's not what they're opting for, I'm telling you right now. Write it down. Remember who you told or who told you about it first. You got this government in bed with Facebook working on a digital currency while the Donald criticizes Facebook for digital currency. Understand that the government created Facebook, folks. So I don't know what Donald's talking about. He's either on cloud nine, doesn't know what's going on, or he's deceiving the people. I don't know which. All right, we talked about House Democrats slammed Donald Trump with a resolution condemning the Go Back to Your Own Country tweets against, quote, Congresswomen of color. And I don't even understand all that. Again, I don't necessarily condemn anybody's free speech, but when you cross the line, you know, when have you crossed the line? We need to really talk about and understand that. There are rules of law. There is what's called libel and slander and treason and insurrections. And, you know, you have a right to free speech, but you don't have an unlimited right to do anything you want to do anytime, anywhere. Other people are in harm's way and in jeopardy when you use your free speech too, quote, liberally, right? If you're not happy, you can leave, said the Donald. Trump stands by his tweets condemning the Dem Squad, if you will, The problem with all that is now the crowds are starting to yell, send her back, send her back. Well, you know, we got some discussions to have with that because, what, this Omar lady's here and Donald's wife is here. And they're both what? Immigrants. Now, if they came here legally, I support both of them being here. If they came here illegally, we got something to talk about, both of them. But I don't see how we can say, hey, this lady needs to go back and Donald's wife doesn't. Well, Donald's wife defends America and this lady doesn't, Sam. That's right. But when have they have the right to their free speech and their free thought and their opinions? As egregious as somebody's opinion may be, we better be careful when we start to attack that. Pretty soon it'll be your opinion, your view, your speech. But if they've crossed the line and violated laws, we better seriously. Oh, here's the ICE protesters story. In Colorado, they took down the flag, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. That's what I'm talking about, though. You know, we need to be very careful. Mark Levine, for example, blasts the four radical House Democrats. This is not, quote, garden variety liberalism. I agree with him. Mark can say that. He's right. But if that's true, then what have they done to break the law? And if they've broken the law, we better prosecute. We better prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. If they haven't broken the law, are you suggesting they don't have free speech because you don't like it? Be careful now. PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel says that the FBI and the CIA should probe Google over infiltration by China. Well, that isn't true. Google was built by the United States federal government. Did you know that, Mark? Did you know that, Peter Thiel? Oh, yeah, you helped build it. You know that full well, don't you, sir?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
All right, Miley Cyrus claims virginity is a, quote, social construct. There's no doubt, Russia Today with the story, there's no doubt that we've turned it into a social construct. It used to be based on God's law. If you violate God's law, it was frowned upon. Nowadays, it's celebrated. If you haven't given your virginity away, they say lost your virginity. I don't think it ever gets lost. I think you give it to someone one time, and once you've done that, you can't get it back. Okay, but we've got rid of the stigma. We've turned our back on God, and we've said that's just fine. In fact, you're an idiot if you haven't given it away already, which is completely wrong. We need to save that precious gift, that sacred honor, for the one that you marry and love and stay with. Marriage is of God, divorce is of man, and we need to really understand this principle. Now, although I don't agree with Miley that it's a social construct, I do believe, and I don't believe that you can regain it, by the way. It's not something that you can regain. But I will say this, it is something that you can repent of. It is something that you can change. You can decide not to live in sin. You can not be. You can decide not to behave in sinful ways. You can decide to keep the commandments of God. And when you repent, you are forgiven. And you can become clean before God Almighty again and receive his countless blessings. Let's never lose sight of that truth. So as Kurt wisely said yesterday, you know, sometimes good is called evil and evil is called good. When they manipulate this and pretend it's a social construct or you know, deny God's laws on this, then they deny the very forgiveness and peace and stability that Jesus Christ can give through the atonement. And it's important to really understand that. And that's what's being lost in this translation and these discussions. Everybody wants to talk about the sex part. Or the virginity part, or, you know, people get titillated with that kind of stuff. I want to tell Miley that she is a daughter of God and that she can behave in ways that God will endorse. And when she does, she can repent and receive forgiveness, and she can be clean again before God, and she can be loved by God and by those around her in appropriate ways. Absolutely. I speak of it, I testify of it, I pray for it, I live it, and I highly recommend others do the same. And I want to make sure that does not get mixed up in the translations there. God does live. Repentance is real. The peace and cleanliness and stability of repentance and then keeping God's laws, we shall not overlook those. We talked about a teacher in Arizona sentenced to 20 years for sex with a 13-year-old student. What a sad tale to tell. But again, that person can receive forgiveness as well. And the poor innocent victim in this case needs no repentance. They do need a lot of love and a lot of support and a lot of stability and a lot of concern and a lot of appropriate treatment by fathers and brothers and uncles and, you know, husbands. And they need to know what real love is like. They need to know what real love appropriately placed is proper. A father's love doesn't have a sexual component to it. But eventually, one day, that girl will get married, and there is an appropriate relationship that could take place there. See, we need to teach about repentance and God's laws, but we also need to teach about proper behavior and what's acceptable and what's not and why. And who sets the guidelines? That is God Almighty, in my humble opinion. But I'm telling you, repentance and forgiveness is a huge blessing that the Savior Jesus Christ gave us through the atonement. Anyway, I don't want to go on about it forever, but I do want to set the record straight on what I believe the truth of the matter really is. We talked about farmers markets, have new unwelcome guests, fascists at the farmers market. Oh boy, a lot of them are violent and crazy. They're not there just to buy and sell goods like the rest of us. This is an interesting tidbit. We talk about a decade as a porn star, but now a church's new leader. I sell myself for money, she said. How could anybody ever love me? Answer, the atonement is infinite, ma'am. Answer is, there are solutions. Answer is, you can be loved. Anyway, it's interesting. People are discovering that all over the country, and we need to make popular that which is good and unpopular that which is evil, and that's why we spend time on this topic. All right, are we doomed to socialism? Asks Ron Paul. Asks Rand Paul. And asks the Blaze, if we do nothing and let the socialists rage, we may be. But I am convinced that as long as we're on the radio, as long as we're doing everything that we can within our power to tell everybody how great America is, and that it is about God, family, and country, and it's about the protection of life, liberty, and property, we'll never be doomed to socialism, folks. I intend to do everything within my power to stand for the sacred principles of the supreme law of our land, the Constitution, and to defend that sacred cause of liberty until the Savior Jesus Christ, our King, returns. Until then, I got a fight to fight, folks. How about you? And I will never capitulate to a socialist nation. Now, I get that we're already socialist in many ways, but I'm fighting them and exposing them in every way I possibly can, and many others are with me. Don't forget that. The one becomes two, the two become the few become many, and pretty soon, wow, the power of our greater numbers can indeed prevail. Drug overdose deaths fall in the United States for the first time in nearly three decades. Now, that's a good news story. I submit we certainly need more of it, right? Bernie Sanders promises to return campaign donations from Big Pharma. Well, I don't know how genuine Bernie is in that, but rather than judge his heart, I'll just say that's a good move. Right, we don't need money from Big Pharma and politics. I'll tell you that right now. That's what's corrupted the system and allowed these shenanigans to go on for way too long. All right. We also talked about a Christian sex sins meltdown on TV's Bachelorette or whatever. Dude, choose a woman who loves Christ the way you do. The only thing I want to say about this is, you know, we shouldn't be airing dirty laundry and promoting sin. What we should do is we should teach everyone to obey God's laws with regards to the sacred sexual relationship. And when we do, we will receive rich blessings, stability in families, blessings from God, a stable country. Because remember, the family is the fundamental unit of society of any country. Okay? You'll never have a country stronger than its, quote, fabric of families, ever. So promoting God and his laws and how it blesses the family and blesses the country is the proper order of things. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is available online at libertyroundtable.com. Donate and get involved in the solutions today. Spread the word about live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, would you please? Now, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. The Honeyman is going to join me. LocalHoneyman.com is his website. If you want raw honey delivered directly to your door, get a hold of Kirk to learn more. LocalHoneyman.com or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211 or simply Kurt, C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundTable.com. And speaking of Kurt, as news the networks refuse to use starts now, welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
You got massive Patriot printing in the background, by the way, too. If you guys want to get a hold of Kurt and you have a Patriot printing job to do, he can do it less expensively than anybody else can for you. And he donates his services as a way to promote the sacred cause of liberty. See, all of us together can have a tremendous impact as we move forward. All right, I don't even know how to discuss this whole thing. We're back to the Jeffrey Epstein case because there's new information that people need to be aware of, Kurt. Federal judge, quote, Epstein denied bail, remains in jail. Second story, Harvard refuses to return massive donation from Jeffrey Epstein, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yeah, you know, when you look at Harvard, you know, they're always hurting for money there. I mean, because things are so tight there at Harvard.
Yeah, thin and dime for those suckers, huh, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, you'd think that they do the politically correct thing, but they've decided to keep the money, and I for one am not surprised at all. How about you?
I don't even know how to respond to this, because every story I read, this story just escalates, and the problem is that every time it escalates, the people that are involved, I don't know that I am comfortable with. So, you know, this guy had massive donations to Harvard, massive donations to politicians. Some have returned the money, some have refused. But Jeffrey Epstein, believe it or not, Kurt, abused at least one woman while out on work release while serving time in jail as part of his 2007 sweetheart deal. That's what a lawyer representing some of his accusers now claims, Kurt. What do you say to that?
I'd say I'm not surprised one bit.
Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office allowed Epstein to leave prison on a work release program for up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, Kurt.
And, by the way, a little
he was at an office building during his 13 months. Brad Edwards, who represents some of these victims, said that the registered sex offender was simply allowed to hang out in an office while he was working, and women would come and see him, and... You know, they came over under false pretenses, and he manipulated them. And, well, when it's brought up to other folks, people are just saying, well, it wasn't our job to watch what he did in his office while he was on his, quote, work release. I mean, this just gets worse by the second, Kurt. When we come back, you had more clarity on a piece there. We'll get to that in seconds. Sam and Kurt, I'm telling you, this Jeffrey Epstein thing, you hear more and more and more evidence of what's going on, more and more abuses, more and more women coming forward, more and more violations of the law, but I don't know where the accountability is going to go. It seems like they've got this surgically contained right now, in my opinion. Hang tight. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today begins what could be a record-breaking weekend for heat and oppressive humidity affecting two-thirds of the American mainland. The National Weather Service says as many as 30 cities could set record highs before it's over, among them Chicago, where Mayor Lori Lightfoot says,
"We have a coordinated, collaborative, and comprehensive response to the coming heat wave, ensuring resources are readily accessible for every Chicagoan."
Iran is denying a claim that the U.S. destroyed one of its drones yesterday. The Iranian military says all of its aircraft are accounted for, even suggesting now that the U.S. military may have shot down one of its own drones. Yesterday, President Trump told reporters an American vessel took defensive action against an Iranian drone as it was entering the Strait of Hormuz. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Crescent Tools. Most toolboxes contain a crescent wrench, which tradesmen and DIYers have trusted for more than a century. But what many call a crescent wrench isn't always the real deal. The reason? True crescent wrenches are made by Crescent Tools, which started producing the adjustable wrench in 1907. However, few realize that Crescent is the brand, not the tool. Nor do they understand that Crescent makes more than just wrenches. Brendan Walsh, Director of Product Management at Crescent Tools.
What a person thinks is a crescent wrench may just be an adjustable wrench, and there's a difference. We've innovated the crescent wrench to meet the needs of today's tool user and have expanded to offer a solid crew of tools in addition to wrenches.
While wrenches are their signature products, Crescent manufactures 2,800 tools, including files, snips, storage cabinets, and measuring tapes, establishing Crescent Tools as one of the most respected professional hand tool brands in the world. So, the next time you reach into your toolbox, check to see if it's actually a crescent wrench or an imposter. For more information, visit www.crescenttool.com.
The death toll now at 33 and a suspect in custody after an arson at a Japanese animation studio. A 41-year-old man setting fire to the building, and he's among the many injured and still hospitalized. Many wonder why the man did it. Comic book artist Jeffrey Cruz was attending Comic-Con in San Diego yesterday.
Animation there is regarded fairly highly, so for something like this to happen to that industry specifically, it's pretty insane.
There are reports investigators think the man may have done it because he felt that the studio was stealing his ideas. Democrats now say the U.S. Senate will vote on the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund bill next week. The Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says a compromise has been reached in a dispute over the funding for victims of the 2001 attacks. Disney's anticipated Lion King hits theaters today, the live-action drama with voices of Beyoncé and Seth Rogen. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein. The judge says he must stay in jail. That's at least somewhat good news. Harvard refuses to return massive donation. Jeffrey Epstein abused at least one woman while he was on work release. Harvard refuses to return massive donation, Kurt. You had more news on that one?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting just reading down through the story. I guess he promised him about $30 million. He only handed over, it was like $6.5 million. The university, said they have no qualms about holding on to this money, you know. Think back about when Ron Paul was, told, hey, man, these are some prostitutes that gave you money. When you think of this story, the story goes on and says, this is what the university said, Mr. Epstein's gift is funding important research using mathematics to study areas such as evolutionary theory, viruses, and cancers. The university is not considering returning this gift. Then they kind of doubled down, I thought this was interesting, their way of saying it. They said when they were considering this idea, they said, I would be inclined to accept such donations on the ground that the tangible benefits of using the money should overcome the more abstract symbolic considerations that might lead us to turn down such benefactions. That was the university president. You know, and
what's your response to all this, Kurt?
Well, he says, I'm not yet persuaded that Harvard should have an obligation to investigate each donor and impose detailed moral standards. Well, you know, at least when I see these donations, you know, to me, $6.5 million is a little different than, Joe gave $20 and we can't really check into him. I think these guys kind of have blood on their hands, in my opinion, simply because you're not, I'm sure that you get something for this. Remember the university stories a little while back with our friends, the story about the people that had paid and to have their children accepted.
Yeah, so One Calls the Heart is the Canadian movie series that relates to an actress that played a role in there. Yeah. And so they want to unwind that whole thing, et cetera, right? And
that's
basically
right.
The One Called the Heart folks distanced themselves and jettisoned and rejected her as a character going forward for the series. And they actually had to refilm the season that was about to be released with that knowledge, too. It was a scramble. They had to put everything on hold and scramble and everything else, Kurt.
And, ask yourself, even though Harvard says, hey, man, we're doing good stuff with all this money. When you look into how much, it's just boatloads that they have. And they have these massive contributions. And the people that contribute them, they get something for their contributions, Sam.
I understand. And I feel slightly different than you, Kurt, in the sense that, you know, if you don't know and you haven't checked somebody out and it's hard to check out every donor, this could happen to us or anybody else that where you get money from a source that you didn't intend or you get associated with somebody that you don't realize. And I'll give you an example. Even Richard Mack got his picture taken with a murderer. You say, what? Yeah, Richard Mack takes pictures with fans all the time. So do me and Kurt and many other people. You just take a picture with people that, hey, they're your friends. They listen to you. They know who you are. They follow your work, whatever the case may be. You take a picture, Richard Mack did that with a guy. Turns out that guy then went off the rails and murdered somebody in Las Vegas. Then they're promoting this picture that, you know, Richard's with this murderer as if there's really a connection. There's not. And so we need to be very careful when we talk about these connections. Now, when you don't know about something and you get money and then you spend that money or use that money, I don't know that it's easy to give back sometimes. Now, for Harvard, it's a little different, but I'm making a general point. If somebody gave me money, it might be hard for me to return that money because I might have used it for our funding to operate and stuff like that. So I don't have a problem if somebody says we didn't vet this well enough and we're so sorry and we're not giving the money back. The problem that I have is when you know going forward about somebody's criminal activity or somebody's behavior or somebody's, I don't know what you want to call it, then taking money. So, for example, did they take money after his convictions in 2007, Kurt? And if they did, they're taking money from a known sex offender. So I guess what I'm saying is I want to be very careful on the look back idea. In other words, guilt after the fact by association is not acceptable to me. However, guilt by association when it's fully transparent and known is a different matter. So if Harvard takes money going forward from Jeffrey, it's even worse than it is, you know, before. So there's kind of some fine lines there. So if Richard Mack is agreeing to take a photo with this guy as if it's his buddy after this information is known, I got a big problem with it. But oftentimes we can do things unintentionally, and I don't know that we're as guilty or that we need to whatever. Everybody returning all this money from all these people and stuff like that, I'm not so sure that's justified. And I'm not so sure that in many cases it's doable. It puts campaigns in big trouble when they have to return funding and stuff like that, too. Oftentimes people go in debt. And so I'm not defending the money or the relationship. What I am saying is I don't like this. We're going to look back and you're going to be guilty based on something and circumstances. And we do this with racism, too. We want to hold, George Washington, the same standards that we understand about race today. Never mind the cultural difference in the reality back then and the viewpoints and understanding and circumstances then. We can't do that. We can't look back in history and hold account for things we didn't know then that we do know now, or societal differences then and applying them to our societal realities today. We can't do that, in my opinion. because I don't think it's honest or honorable or fair. So anyway, I'm not necessarily, you know, I don't know when they took the money and what they knew. But I know this, we need to be very careful who we take money from, because as you point out wisely, Kurt, there's always strings attached. And the bigger the money, the greater the strings, was your point, right? And therefore, the greater the responsibility to vet, to find out, to. And I don't know when they took the money and who knew what, and I don't know who took the money versus what they knew, and I don't know all those things. I know we need to be very careful, though, when we look back and hold people to certain standards of what we know. Hindsight's 20/20 is what I'm saying. And we need to be very careful about some of those things. Any final thoughts
would,
on that, Kurt?
Would it shock you if we somehow could find out that a number of these abused girls somehow got into Harvard?
No, it would not shock me. And if that's the case and we start to create more and more and more and more of a tie, then the question is, did they know they were abused, or was it just like, I want to get my friends into Harvard money? Well, there's two levels to this. One, I want to get my friends into Harvard money is bad enough. And again, we need to go back to this exact idea that you bring up about this poor character on this One Calls the Heart series. You know, she just tried to get her daughter in there, got raked over the coals, lost her contract, huge meltdown, prosecuted before the law. Okay, but now this guy, so that relates for sure. The question is, what did they know, though? Was it just, we're going to, you know, help your buddies get into Harvard for money? That's bad, but it's not the same thing to know about the abused girls and get involved in all that kind of stuff. And that's why I say it all depends on at what level, who knew what, versus the culpability kind of a discussion. And I bring that up because, again, we need to be open and honest and fair about this. And we need to realize that people are not guilty until proven so. They're innocent. And so I don't know what Harvard knew, and I don't know what, but I want to be very clear about, hey, we should vet this, though. If they're going to say we're not going to take the money, if they're not going to refund the money, then in my opinion, Harvard instantly goes under greater scrutiny. You know what? You're allowed to keep the money, but we're also allowed to dig in and find out what you knew when. So I don't have any problem with the transparency piece. What I don't want to do, though, is hold people accountable for things they may not have realized or known as if they did, when we don't know that. And Richard Mack is the perfect example. Look, he got his photo. It's plastered all over the internet by the Southern Poverty Law Center and other people kind of suggesting, look who Richard Mack hangs out with, murderers and such. Well, that's an unfair characterization big time. I don't know how he takes back the photo. And going forward, I'm sure that Richard Mack would refuse to take his photo with this guy, right? But so we need to be careful with that is all I'm saying. And that doesn't mean that I don't think that there should be responsibility there. We should dig into Harvard and Jeffrey Epstein and find out what was their relationship. I think that's certainly on the table. So I'm not dismissing Harvard and defending them as much as I'm defending some principles here. But for example, Kurt, you know, he abused one woman while out on work release. But Jeffrey Epstein's New Mexico ranch is now linked to sex trafficking, believe it or not, according to the liberal Huffington Post, even, Kurt. It's known as the Zorro Ranch, and the High Desert property is now tied to an investigation. The New York Attorney General's office has opened an investigation into this Epstein case. And I guess the big old battle is that he didn't have to register as a sex offender in New Mexico, and so it got all missed and da-da-da-da-da-da. What ties are there, too? And there's politicians that have land surrounding Epstein's property that are now giving the money back. So your point about we need to dig into this and find out who's who and what do they really know is a wise one. And I highly recommend we dig hard. But I have a feeling it's a surgical removal of Jeffrey and they won't dig very hard. That's just my gut.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. The House of Representatives literally passed a bill that would raise the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour, man. Setting up a vote in the Senate that will likely fail. I guess the vote in the House was 231 to 199, Kurt. You want to respond to this one?
Well, I don't know why they stopped at $15. I mean, you know, these days it takes a bunch of money, and why not make people just, you know, the dreams come true with like $100 an hour, maybe $1,000 an hour. I mean, you know, hey, government can do that with a stroke of a hand, Sam.
Yes, they can, but I highly recommend against it.
Amen to that.
Anyway, it's kind of an interesting thing, though. $15 an hour. The Senate's probably going to shut it down. I guess there were mostly Republicans went against it. I think some Republicans supported it, but most went. It was pretty much a partisan kind of a deal, Kurt. And I guess I'm saying this. Why demand a minimum wage, Kurt? You know, there's all kinds of ways to promote socialism, right? And I guess my attitude a little bit on this is if you're going to give people a minimum wage, but is it better just to give them money, Kurt?
Well, I think neither one should really be done.
Well, of course not.
You know, of course, get the government out of it and let people make agreements with whoever they're working with to pay them what they both agree to, you know. Imagine leaving freedom there, you know.
Yes, sir. By the way, if you gave somebody $1,000 a month, Kurt, and it was equivalent to a 40-hour-a-week job, it'd be $5.76 an hour to not work, is why I bring that up. And so I think that's a worse plan. You know, just giving somebody $1,000, I'd rather see people work and have a minimum wage, I guess, if we're going to be forced to have one or the other. But I'd propose, as you wisely say, just let people work and let people pay what people want to pay and let people work for what they want to work for, Kurt. I personally think the wage would go up in many cases. If we had government out of it. I think a lot of the reasons for this burden and the holding down of wages has to do with too much of the money has gone to the federal government. I mean, how much does the corporate need to put in versus how much does the employee need to put in? And the burden is massive between the two, Kurt. They tax both sides of that equation. Right?
Well, and one thing you need to remember every time this so-called minimum wage goes up, then it means that all the other ones go up. As well, and I'm talking about in union kind of things or whatever, or government employees, you know. If
yes,
the
sir.
Minimum wage is increased, then all those other ones go up.
Yeah, to prove your point, Kurt, as the dollar gets less and less and less in value and all these different things just go up, 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 and up, and in terms of cost and regulations and expenses and stuff like that, USA Today just released an article. $1 million may not even be rich anymore, Kurt. Most people don't think $1 million is a lot of money anymore. They used to think it was the ticket to heaven, ticket to retirement, ticket to... Now they say even people that have between $1 and $5 million aren't even that wealthy. I guess just 13% think $1 million is enough, Kurt. And the question becomes, is it because $1 million is so worthless now? Or is it because the American people just want such a high living standard demand that... Well, the study shows it's both. But this kind of highlights your point, doesn't it, Kurt?
very good point, Sam. And, you know, it just seems like, I mean, imagine if it was a million back in the late 50s, you know, then it would be, you know, equivalent to basically 20 times that, you know.
And yeah, so what, you know, 20 million? Yeah,
20 million instead of 1 million, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And not only would it be that much more money in terms of dollars or buying power, but that money, remember, doesn't just spend once, Kurt. So it reverberates that equivalent across communities, especially if we trade locally and work locally. That's why it's so important for us, Kurt, and that's why I support advertisers and sponsors and friendlies. I mean, I want to advertise for people that believe in the Constitution, even if they don't pay me sometimes. Because I want to build this infrastructure, this ecosystem. You know, you got Apple's ecosystem and Amazon's ecosystem and, you know, Facebook and, you know, all these different companies have these systems, right? Where they want you to buy all their stuff and do all their things and just be in their world and their digital platform and stuff. We need to create a Patriot ecosystem. And that means we need to do business with the good guys. When you buy honey, for instance, you shouldn't just buy honey from anywhere. When you buy honey from Kurt, you're funding this radio program. When you buy honey from, say, Walmart, no offense, but you're just sending your money straight to Arkansas and then straight overseas, pretty much. If you spend your money with Kurt, then Kurt spends his money with, you know, Lowell, and then Lowell spends his money with Scott Bradley, and Scott Bradley spends his money with Sam, and Sam goes out to dinner and eats, you know, food at Greg's restaurant, and Greg then goes and, you know, and when we spend that money, this 20 times that you highlight, Kurt, how many times is it really when you talk about 20 times the value plus it gets spent over and over and over and over in your circle? I don't even know how to calculate the value there, Kurt. But economically, it's tremendous. So that's why we promote a Patriot ecosystem. Anything else on that one, Kurt?
No.
All right, Dennis Prager's in the news.
Well, you know, Dennis is, I mean...
does a great job.
Once again, he does. And in this case, you know, he's just basically talking about PragerU. And if you're not familiar with that, it's his basically online version of a university. And in this case, the headline reads, our target audience is young people, but Google restricts PragerU in schools and libraries. And so this old censorship idea is alive and well, right, Sam?
Yes, sir. Anyway, I just find that interesting. Dennis Prager fighting the good fight. Dennis Prager, our target audience is young people, but Google restricts PragerU, that's Prager University, in schools and libraries. And, Kurt, I don't know if he's right about that. And what I mean by that is I don't know if Google knows if it's a school or a library and intentionally restricts that or not. I'd be interested to see if that's really true. What I think often happens is the school or the library is restricting access to some of those things. So I'm not debating if it's restricted. I'm just discussing who really is the responsible party. And I don't know. It might be Google, but it might very well be the school or the library itself, and or even a broader government network. A lot of times schools and libraries and these things are plugged into broader governmental networks and infrastructures. And oftentimes there's what's called head routers. And these head routers have all kinds of rules and filters and et cetera. And, you know, I don't know, you know, who's doing it. It might be in partnership with Google. I mean, you know, you'd have to dig into the technical details to really answer this. But Dennis's point is, well, you know, documented that there is a manipulation going on. There is a restricting of access. The problem is when Google was built by your federal government in bed with like Palo Alto City and the military and big tech and, you know, all these things, Kurt, it's hard to say who's blocking what, right?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And I guess he told Senator Marsha Blackburn, she's a Republican of Tennessee, during a Senate committee hearing that he feels, this is Dennis Prager, a radio host, he feels as though he's in a comedy skit after listening to a Google vice president's explanation as to why a PragerU video on the Ten Commandments has been placed on YouTube's restricted list along with pornographic and violent videos. The restricted listing by Google prevents schools, libraries, and others from showing PragerU videos to young people, which Prager noted as PragerU's target audience. And, you know, they just had this recent deal, and he's just saying, hey, man, this is nuts. You know, our stuff isn't the same as, you know, these other things that are, quote, restricted.
Yeah, you're right about that. Anyway, our prayers are with Dennis Prager. I think he's spot on the point. And I only bring up the details to kind of let people understand these are complicated issues. And, you know, I want to make sure people understand that. All right, CNN's now embarrassed, according to WorldNet Daily, Kurt.
Very good. And by the way, Sam, you know, I guess he said that because there was the word murder in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, that's why they wouldn't let it go through, you know. And so, you know, like you say, computers only do about what you tell them. CNN, in this case, they're embarrassed. Let's see, I was trying to figure out why.
I guess they're CNN, seriously, embarrassed by eight women who don't fall into the network's trap, Kurt. Kind of an interesting deal. It's idiotic what they're saying about Trump, yeah. Joe Kovacs, and...
yeah, they had a panel in Dallas, yes. Texas. This is pretty recent. And this panel of these eight Republican women, they all raised their hands to indicate President Trump is not a racist. And that didn't go along with what CNN wanted. They say it was a stunning moment of clarity on CNN, the cable's news network, that tried and failed to convince eight Republican women that President Trump is racist, based on his recent tweets against four minority Democratic women in Congress. So at least hats off to the ladies. They saw through the con game.
Yeah, and this is important because I think this is kind of starting a sea change, Kurt, in my opinion, about this. You know, it used to be to where if they called somebody a racist, you didn't dare oppose them because it's like, oh, man, you know, it's going to be curtains for me if I speak out against this. But in my opinion, now they're starting to realize that, you know what, they call people racist at the drop of a hat, whether it's warranted or not, so much so that the R word is losing its chutzpah, or whatever word you want to use for it. It's losing its, quote, star power, to where, you know what, people are just going like, you know what, I've seen this garbage before, it's bogus, I'm not going along. So I think we're starting to see the overuse of the race card, and we're starting to see people not willing to just go along to get along anymore on this topic. And these eight women, I believe, kind of highlight that point, Kurt, don't you think?
Good point, Sam. Yeah.
And I think that's, in my opinion, a little bit of good news. It also shows, you know, eight women, that's not a few, Kurt. Well, hold on. Eight is a few defined in the Bible, isn't it? So I guess it's just a few women there, Kurt, you know.
Well, but they're the ones they chose for their little...
yes, they are. That's the point.
Little deal.
Yes, and it's also, when you say a few, hey, eight's quite a bit. I mean, you got four women making 10 times the waves in Congress, half that number, right?
Yeah, good
so,
point.
So, you know, it's significant in my mind, and it highlights a critical component. It proves we're winning is the bottom line, Kurt. It proves the word's getting out. People are realizing that we are good, honest, wise servants of the Republic, and we understand constitutional government. We understand the checks and balances, and we know we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic, and we know that we have the right to think and feel and believe as we do and as we want to, and we know that it's God, family, and country, and we, you know what, we're not going to fall for the lies, the manipulations anymore. And the more they manipulate these things, the more they are dishonest in the media about it, the more Americans are going to start to stand up and embrace the new media taking center stage, and the old guard is going away. CNN got egg all over their face, and I commend these eight women for their stance. And we need more people to understand the truth and stand up for what is right in America. Oh, what a blessed day that is. Quick pause, hour one in the can, two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure.